Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name's Lorcan Doherty and today we're talking about tourism. Every year, Catalonia welcomes almost 20 million foreign tourists. But despite the huge boost tourism gives to the economy, there are growing questions over how tourists and residents can happily coexist, not least in the capital, Barcelona. And after years of concern about over-tourism, 2020 has seen a lack of tourists, with the industry hard hit by the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. Coming up in today's episode of Filling the Sink, we'll hear from a couple of tour guides in Barcelona, Marta and Risi. Joining me now, Catalan News journalists Killian Shields and Alan Reid Thrall. You're both very welcome.
Hi, Lorcan.
Thanks very much, Lorcan. Great to be here.
So as I said, we're going to get into the details of over-tourism, but as with everything this year, 2020 has been completely different. What have you noticed, Killian, living here?
Well, on the streets, you can notice far fewer people. You can notice, especially in the summer now, of course, which would be the busiest tourist season, there's just much less life, much less activity going on, especially around the Ciutat Vella, the old town, and the Gothic quarter, which has beautiful streets, but they're very, very narrow and they give a really historic feel to them. You could really tell just the lack of activity that was happening there. And to be honest, it was actually a little bit nice in my point of view, that it was much calmer. You could walk around, peruse the beautiful sights with a bit more ease. Because normally in any other year, these tiny streets would be packed with hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies.
Yeah, I agree in part with you, Killian, but I remember going to the Gothic quarters in the city center, and it's true that I felt like in part relief because there was almost like nobody in the streets, so I could walk around. But on the other hand, like, I also felt that it was kind of death, like you couldn't see like much life, and that is connecting with what we were talking about, over tourism. I think that if you have an area that has been exposed to mass tourism throughout the years, now if you remove tourists, like, there's nobody there, like, there's no like so much local stores, like families, it's mostly like empty apartments.
Yeah. So for residents, it's kind of been mixed. We've been able to enjoy the historic center of Barcelona with a little bit more space, but there has been this feeling of maybe it doesn't have quite as much life. But for people who actually make a living out of tourism, obviously they've been really heavily affected. Tourism in Catalonia normally makes up 12% of GDP, but this year it's only going to make up 3%, a 25 billion euro loss. Some tour guides have started giving tours aimed at locals who want to discover more about the city they live in. Last weekend, I decided to go along to one of these tours. It's a cold, sunny Sunday morning in Barcelona when I meet Marta Roger in Plaza Catalunya. Marta's an official tour guide who is getting ready for another busy year when the pandemic struck.
Our high season starts in March, so it's when the lockdown started. So with three friends, we decide to change a little bit our tours. So I usually work for American people, some French people, and now we are doing tours for local people in Barcelona.
There are four signed up today, one from Mallorca, one from Igualada, but they're all living in Barcelona now. As Marta hands out the radio guides, good for keeping social distancing, she tells me it's been hard to attract customers this year.
To be honest, usually they are friends of friends of friends. So far, it's very hard, especially with the lockdown. People are scared sometimes to groups. We do very small groups, so five people maximum.
The tours are to many of the same places Marta brings foreign visitors. The Picasso Museum, the Miró Museum, and today a Gothic tour in Barcelona's old town.
There are many, many things hidden in the Ramblas that they really don't know. So I'm going to introduce the Ramblas, then the old Roman cemetery, then we will walk towards the Plaza del Pi, the old Jewish quarter, and then the royal castle, the royal palace, and then the Born neighborhood. I think the local people are discovering our city in a different way.
Even as someone who makes their living from tourism, Marta believes that in the past few years, Barcelona has been overrun. But she's hopeful for a solution.
There were too many, and sometimes the local people felt a little bit stressed. But I think if we control that in a way that is a quality tourism and quality tour guides, it will be very, very nice for the city.
And as we stroll along the relatively quiet streets, I feel lucky and can't help but think that this is the perfect time to be a tourist in Barcelona. And my thanks to Marta. Now, as we've heard, this year has been completely different. If we're looking at changing the approach to tourism, changing the model, that must mean then that the current one isn't working. So what's the problem?
I think one way of putting it is how many tourists can a city like Barcelona take before they profoundly disrupt the way locals live? And tourism has profound effects also in the economy. For rent prices, for instance, with many apartments for tourists. Also, you have like a lot of businesses that are trying to make money out of tourism, but this means that the economy is maybe perhaps too focused on that.
And how long has this been a problem for, would you say?
Well, people normally refer to 1992, the Olympics in Barcelona, as the year when Barcelona became like known to the world.
And that was also when they opened up a lot of the beachfront area and things like that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, because the city was basically transformed. There was a new Barcelona in a way. And when it comes to tourism being perceived as a problem, I checked the city council website and I saw that in 2012, you had 72% of locals who wanted more tourists versus 25% who said it was enough. And this figure has rapidly changed. And in 2017, tourism was voted as the main problem of locals.
So that is a big, big change in a short period of time. Would it be unfair to point the finger at, well, that was when Airbnb kind of exploded?
Airbnb certainly have their part to play in the issue, but I wouldn't put it solely down to them. I mean, Barcelona is the busiest city in Europe for cruise ship passengers. So we get 50 million passengers every year just from cruise ship visitors. Those are people that wouldn't necessarily be staying in Airbnbs, but they still contribute to the overcrowding of the spaces in the city.
And there's a lot of complaints too about the levels of pollution. It's also the most polluting port in Europe as well. So it's another thing to bear in mind. Okay, it brings some economic benefits, but you know, there's some health benefits.
What are those long-term health benefits or long-term health problems that they could give to us?
Alan, this week you went to speak to a representative from the main tour guide association here.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that she says is that, of course, they are tour guides, but they are also locals. And therefore, it's important for them to make sure that tourism model is sustainable.
Okay, well, let's have a listen. This is Gizi Nickel from Agicat.
Barcelona is known, and unfortunately sometimes has become infamous over the last years, of being a city so popular with tourists that mass tourism really has taken over the city. It is partially true. And what we from Agicat have tried to promote over the last years, ever since we started to exist, is a sustainable model in the sense that we don't want huge groups of 70 people following a guide with an umbrella and loudspeakers through the little streets of Barcelona, of the old town, for example. We advocate for small groups, which is a completely different experience, both for the tourists themselves, the visitors, but also for the locals. You don't have to squeeze past a group of 70, but if there's 25, it's way easier to manage for everybody, especially for the size of the city. So our idea is to be allies with the locals. We're all living here and we all also are residents, not only guides who live from tourism. So we want to create, yes, a harmonious living together between those who live here and those who come to visit. There's more meetings than ever to rethink our tourism model, the old town of Barcelona, of how tourism is managed there. Small groups, little acoustic pollution, trying to organize the old town in such a way that there's room for everybody and not just for the 15 free tour companies that currently are occupying the territory. I think many of us want the cities to be cities where people like to live in, not just for visitors. And if you book a local guide, a licensed guide, you will contribute to the local economy, but you will especially get an authentic experience and not one of the off the beaten track experience than following the umbrella with 70 other people and not helping to preserve the Barcelona we all love.
Our thanks there to Raisi. I thought that was really interesting, what she was saying about the acoustic contamination, because, you know, you think about the crowds and stuff, but actually it's the noise as well that makes such a difference to your, whether you're a visitor or you live somewhere, to your experience of a place, you know, whether it's a plaza and there's conversation going on in the background, there's no cars, you know. So I think that's a really sometimes something that we don't take into account.
Yeah, I think noise is one thing that I have noticed, especially this year, but more so the inverse, the lack of noise. Like, I live in one area of Barcelona that would have a lot of international visitors on any normal year. And I remember very often it could be quite difficult to sleep late at night with groups of young tourists coming home after a night out. Like, for example, I don't know how many times I was woken up by young 20-whatever-year-old Juventus fans just blaring at the top of their lungs, just football chants.
You were able to identify the chants. Not everyone would have been able to pick the team out.
Well, when they say the word Juve, Juve over and over again, you can tell.
Talking to her, I think it also helped me realize when I've gone to other cities, not only how I've behaved, but also how I've been as a consumer. Like, not always I've been aware of like what the economic impact of my visit was. Maybe I've gone to businesses that were not like local, that I've not really contributed that much to the local economy. So talking to her about the city where I live has definitely helped me be more conscious about my role as a tourist outside of Barcelona as well.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, you know, if we want to ask the question, well, who's to blame? It's everyone. It's all of us. We're all responsible. We all travel. We've all been I was a tourist in Barcelona before I lived here, you know, so we all have to take some kind of personal responsibility. But not just that, obviously, there is some legislation that's been passed in Barcelona as well to try and make it easier for people who live here and people who visit to coexist together. And one of those things is that Airbnbs, which we mentioned briefly earlier on, is to kind of clamp down on illegal holiday lets.
Yes, Airbnb has been hugely present, obviously, in Barcelona. I mean, 1.5 million people stay in Airbnbs in Barcelona every year, on a typical year, of course. So last year, in 2019, the Barcelona City Council threatened to fine over 2,500 illegal tourist apartments advertised on Airbnb. And through their efforts, they've also claimed to have reduced the number of unlicensed flats in the city from around 6,000 to around 3,000.
And just how to manage tourism, that's really what officials stress. It's like Raisi said earlier, sustainable quality tourism.
Yeah, exactly. That I talked to the Catalan government tourism agency and they said exactly that. It's not a matter of more or less tourism, but better tourism. They repeated this word like sustainability. They also talked about wise tourism and tourism that brings wealth to the economy. And they also talk about decentralization, meaning bringing inland all these tourists, millions of tourists that come to Barcelona, but also to the seaside towns.
Yeah, because of course the whole coast of Catalonia, or almost the whole coast, the Costa Brava, the Costa Dorada, these are areas that see so much tourism as well. But as we've kind of seen this year, when we haven't been able to travel as far, there's other places you can go to too.
Yeah, definitely. It was almost funny seeing like in my Instagram feed all my friends discovering Catalonia in a way. People going to Aigües Tortes, the national park.
That's in the Pyrenees.
Yeah, exactly. Also the Delta de l'Ebre to Cap de Creus. These were all places that people had on their bucket list, but probably they were thinking, no, I will travel abroad this year. I will always have the chance to go here. And well, 2020 was the time when they went to these places.
I had a similar experience myself. This summer, I visited the Penedès region, famous for wines. It's one of the areas in Catalonia that's denomination of origin, meaning the quality of it is just exceptionally high. I stayed in a casa rural, which is like a rural house. It was essentially a farm. There were horses, there were pigs, there were roosters. Not a place where I initially envisaged I would spend a summer holiday, but it was absolutely brilliant to get more in touch with rural Catalonia and, of course, tasting some of the fabulous wines that they had there as well.
It sounds like you had a great time. Penedès, I'm going to add that to my list. Killian, thanks. Every week on Filling the Sink, we have a Catalan phrase, of course. Alan, what do we have today?
Yeah, connected to tourism. It's not an actual Catalan phrase, but I'm sure that all Catalans will understand you if you use that phrase. And it's això sembla la Rambla, which means this looks like la Rambla, which means that something is packed, is full of people, is really crowded.
So if you if you go into a crowded room or whatever, you go, oh, right, this is like La Rambla.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you say it again?
Això es La Rambla, això sembla La Rambla. Anything doing with La Rambla.
Well, there we go. And that's it for this week's episode of Filling the Sink. Thanks very much, Killian and Alan, for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Many thanks to the guides that we spoke to as well. That's Marta and Racy. Until next week, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, bye for now. Adieu.